would you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10? And notice from Mark 10, beginning in verse 46, what Mark says. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Do you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful story of your son healing a blind man. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that is still blind to their own need, blind to who the Savior really is, Lord, help them to have their eyes open today and be saved. And those of us that have been saved, we just pray that you'll help us to learn the lessons you have for us from this story in the Gospels. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem from Galilee. They traveled down the eastern side of the Jordan Valley. They crossed back over the Jordan River and entered into the city of Jericho. And then they were leaving the city of Jericho to travel up that winding road up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And because it was Passover, Jesus was not only accompanied by his disciples, but he was accompanied by a large multitude of people, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people walking along with Jesus as he took his pilgrimage up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, on the way out of the city, something very significant took place. Once again, Jesus healed a blind man, a man who could not see. And according to Matthew's account, there were actually two blind men sitting by the road that called out to Jesus. But Mark's focus was on the spokesman of the group, someone he identifies as Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The fact that he identified him tells me that this man was probably known in the Christian community, and his name was given. Now, even though this is a great story about Jesus' power to heal, a great story about who Jesus is, this story also has some important lessons about prayer. Would you like to improve your prayer life this morning? Well, I believe I will give you some lessons from this text of Scripture which can enhance and improve your prayer life. Now, the first truth that I see from this text of Scripture is this, that you should recognize your need. Before Jesus can help you, you first of all have to know how he can help you, what need that you have. And in this story, we read about a man who certainly had a great need. In verse 46, we read, "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." Now, we read two significant needs that this man had. First of all, he was blind. Blindness was all too common in that day. And I believe he was not just legally blind by today's definition, but that he could not see at all. And not only was he blind, but he was also a poor beggar. You see, the two went hand in hand. If you had a great disability and could not work, the only thing you could do to get a living was to beg people to give of what they had. And so here was a man who was poor. He was a man who was a beggar because they didn't have disability insurance in those days. They didn't have those kind of benefits. He had to rely upon begging. And what a great time to sit by the road to beg. Passover was approaching. Hundreds and thousands of pilgrims would be passing through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, and he would have the opportunity to beg from many, many people who would pass by. And so here was a man who had a great need, and he knew it. And I ask you this morning, what need do you have today? Is there someone who needs to understand that you have been spiritually blind and that you have a sin that condemns you to eternity without God, to face God's judgment? May God open your eyes and help you to see your spiritual need. And those of us that have been saved, we don't have that need any longer, but we may have other needs in our lives. Do you have a need for healing today? Do you have a financial need today? Do you have a relationship need, a reconciliation? No matter what your need is, the first step in getting that need solved and met is to recognize your need so you can bring that need to God in prayer. In fact, that's the second point that I see from this text of Scripture, and that is understanding your need, you need to cry out to Jesus in prayer. That's what Bartimaeus did. Though he was blind, he was not deaf. And he could hear the sound of a crowd passing by. According to Luke's account, he asked what this meant. And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And so in verse 47, we read, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Oh, he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he must have gotten all excited. Because you know what? I think he heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard that he had healed many people. He had heard that he had even healed blind people. And so he called out to him to have mercy upon him. You know, we can't see Jesus either. We didn't live in that day. He's in heaven. We don't see Jesus, but we've heard about Jesus. We hopefully have believed in Jesus. And so we call out to Jesus in prayer. And there are several lessons about prayer that I see illustrated in this text of Scripture. And the first is this, that our prayer should express faith. We should have faith in Jesus. In the next chapter, chapter 11, Jesus is going to say this: whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Bartimaeus was blind in body, but not in soul. He had insight into who Jesus really is, and he believed that Jesus could heal him. Now, notice the other evidences of his faith. Now, the others said he's Jesus of Nazareth, but what did he say to Jesus? How did he call out to Jesus? He called him Son of David. Now, what's significant about him calling Jesus Son of David? Well, he knew the scriptures. He knew the prophecies. He knew that God would raise a descendant of David to sit on the throne of Israel, that he would be the Messiah. And so it was a messianic term. And you realize that in Isaiah, there are three different prophecies that indicate that then when the Messiah comes, he would restore sight to the blind. And so here was a man that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Furthermore, in the last of verse 51, notice how he addressed Jesus. He addressed him as Rabboni. Do you know how many times Jesus was addressed as Rabboni in the Gospels? Only one other time, Mary Magdalene. What does Rabboni mean? That means an exalted rabbi, the master rabbi. It was a term of highest respect for Jesus. In fact, Matthew and Luke's gospel use the word Lord instead of Rabboni because they essentially had the same meaning. And so here was a man that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Here was a man who believed that Jesus was Lord. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so based on scripture and based on the reports that he had heard, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah and he could heal him. And so we see here an example of the kind of faith that we should have. Though we haven't seen Jesus, we believe in him, don't we? We believe that he healed people. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that he rose again from the dead because it's reported in the Word of God and we believe it by faith. This is the kind of faith that the Apostle Peter talked about. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice. Do you have faith in Jesus? Well, if you have faith in Jesus, you need to exercise that faith as you pray unto him. But furthermore, our prayer should acknowledge God's mercy. In the last of verse 47, he asked Jesus, have mercy on me. Have you ever had a big problem in your life and you just thought to yourself, you know, this isn't fair. This isn't fair that I should have this problem. This isn't fair because I know some people that are sinners and they don't have this problem. But this man did not plead unto the Lord Jesus based on fairness and justice, but instead he pleaded based on the mercy of God because he was a sinner and he knew it. He didn't deserve anything. All he based his appeal on was the mercy of God. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are lost and going to a devil's hell, and they ought to be saying, God, have mercy on my soul. Have mercy on me, Lord. Save me, Lord. And that's what this man does. He calls upon the Lord to have mercy on him. And so our prayer should express faith. Our prayer should be based on the mercy of God. And thirdly, our prayer should be persistent. This is illustrated in verse 48 where we read, "Then many warned him to be quiet." Can you imagine that? Here was a blind man. And this crowd didn't have any compassion upon him, but instead told him to be quiet. Now, why in the world would they tell this blind man who had a need and Jesus who could heal blindness, why did they tell them to keep quiet? Well, you know, one possibility is this, that it was customary for a rabbi who was traveling to be surrounded by people, and he would actually teach while he was walking. He would answer questions while they were walking. And these guys over here were disturbing the worship service. You know, they were interrupting the sermon and the teaching. Will you be quiet? That could have been one of the reasons. The other may have been that, you know, Jesus is too dignified and too important for to be interrupted in this way. Show some respect, will you? Oh, their lack of compassion for this man who was in need. May we show more compassion than the crowd did. But when they told him to be quiet, what did Bartimaeus do? Well, the gospel says that he just cried out all the more, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me." Now, why did he not stay quiet? Why did he not give heed to the crowd? It was because he had a big problem. He was blind. He was poor. He was sitting by the road, living a life that no one wanted to live. And here's Jesus passing by. And he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed that Jesus had the power to heal. And you're not going to tell me to be quiet when he can help me. And so he cried out to Jesus because this was his opportunity. This was his opportunity. If he had stayed quiet, perhaps he would have remained in darkness for the rest of his life. But he was persistent. He kept calling upon the Lord until the Lord stopped and called out to him to hear his requests. And you know, we need to be persistent in our prayers as well. When you pray and God doesn't answer your prayers, do you give up? No, you be like the blind man. You just call out even more. You just keep calling out to the Lord. Keep praying. You know, we read of a few others that were dogged in their persistence of receiving healing from the Lord. You remember the Syrophoenician woman who asked Jesus for a healing? And Jesus kind of rebuffed her. "You're a Gentile. Why should I give blessings to a Gentile?" And she was persistent. And God granted her request through his son Jesus. You remember the leper? The woman with the issue of blood, neither was to touch Jesus. Neither, according to Levitical law, was to approach Jesus. But in desperation, they did so. Be persistent in your prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be opened unto you." One evidence that you really believe that God can help you is persistence in prayer. Keep praying. I've known people that have prayed for a spouse to be saved for years and years, and God finally answered their prayer. I know of people that have gone through difficulties and they kept praying and kept praying until God answered their prayer. Don't give up. Be persistent in your prayer. So you need to recognize your need. You need to call out to the Lord in prayer. And then thirdly, understand that Jesus is concerned about your prayer and your need. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, Peter wrote that. And Peter traveled with Jesus for 3 years. And Peter saw many times that Jesus cared about people. And he could write that by his personal experience. By the way, Matthew's account also indicates that Jesus was moved with compassion upon this man. So you understand that when you're calling in prayer upon someone who cares for you. So what happened? How did Jesus demonstrate that he cares for this man? Well, first of all, he stood still. He stood still. Now, I'm one of these, and poor Cheryl will have to tell you, you know, I'm from Georgia, and so when I'm on the road to Georgia, I don't want to stop. You know, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, I've got to stop. Okay, I got to stop. Well, Jesus had been traveling all the way from Galilee, down the Jordan Valley, across the Jordan again, through Jericho, and he was on a mission to get to Jerusalem for the Passover. He had important work to do there, including dying as a Lamb of God for the sins of the world. And yet, though he was on a mission to get to Jerusalem, he stood still and took time for a blind man. Yes, Jesus cares for us. And you know, Jesus will take time for you. He will take time to hear your prayers. Don't ever think that you're bothering Jesus. And then secondly, he called for the blind man. Notice in verse 49, it says that he commanded him to be called. Jesus wanted to give this man's permission to come and be by his side so he could talk to him, so he could meet the needs of his life. And oh, what a wonderful sound it was to the blind man to hear that Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Oh, it should bring joy to our hearts as well to know that God is calling out to you. You know, there are many times in the scriptures it talks about the call of God. I'm glad that God called upon me to become a preacher of the gospel. What a blessing that was. Oh, what a blessing it was when God called me to be saved. Is God calling you to be saved today? Is God calling out to you to say, "What can I do for you? Call upon me in prayer, and I will answer your prayers." God called out to this man through his son Jesus. And notice the response of Bartimaeus in verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose up and came to Jesus. Oh, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. He did not hesitate at all. He just cast away that garment and probably ran up to Jesus. Now, why did he cast his garment aside? There's two possible reasons. One is that the garment was like a pallet that he sat upon, or some believe the garment would be folded in such a way as to be a collection for donations, for alms. You know what he was saying when he cast the garment aside? "I'm not going to need this anymore because I believe Jesus is going to heal me." Oh, yes, Jesus stood still to give this man an opportunity to present his petition. Indeed, we see from this verse 51 that he invites petition. In verse 51, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, he had already given a general request, "Have mercy upon me." Well, in what way can I have mercy upon you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. And implicit in that question is, I will do what you ask. Isn't that a wonderful question to hear from Jesus? What can I do for you? God says to you as a Christian, what can I do for you? What a wonderful question. But you know, in that question is an opportunity for this man to demonstrate his faith. You see, if Jesus were any other person and someone asked the blind man, "What can I do for you?" he would have said, "Please give alms to the poor." But what does he say to Jesus? Not give alms, but give me my sight back. Help me to see again, because Jesus, I believe you can heal my blinded eyes. And you know, you have needs, and Jesus is ready and willing to meet your needs. He's just waiting upon you to ask. You know what James chapter 4 verse 2 says? You have not because you ask not. And you know, sometimes we don't have enough faith to ask God for the impossible. We just ask God for the possible. But you know, prayer is an opportunity to express our true faith, just like this man did. So what are you going to ask of the Lord Jesus? If I were standing in the place of Jesus, if Jesus were standing before you today and he were to ask you, "What can I do for you today?" what would you say? Would you say, "Oh Lord, save me. I'm lost. I need my sins forgiven. I need eternal life. Will you save me today?" Or will you say, "Lord, will you heal me today?" Or will you heal my wife today? Or will you heal my son today? Lord, I've got a financial problem. I can hardly provide for my family. I need a job today. Lord, will you ask him to meet the needs of your life? Yes, God cares for you. You just need to bring your petition to God and ask of him, because he can answer your prayers. And indeed, we see that truth in this gospel story, that Jesus can answer your prayer. He certainly did in this story. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus touched his eyes. And just like Mark reports, immediately, just like that, he was able to see once again. Jesus healed him immediately. That's the power of God. So what does this story tell us about Jesus? It tells us that indeed he is the Messiah that God promised to send. You know anybody else that has healed the blind as prophesied in Isaiah other than Jesus? He healed the blind. He's the Messiah. Surely he's the Son of God, because he has the very power of God to heal the blind, to heal many other people. The fact that he healed this man also shows that he really does care about the suffering and the hurting. He cares for us. And just as he immediately healed blindness, even so he can save a soul just like that. You know, there are folks that think, you know, you got to go through all the sacraments and you got to go through all the rituals and you got to live a good life. And then maybe at the end of your life, you'll find out whether or not you're saved or not. That's a lie from the devil, folks. Listen, when you're saved immediately. You're born again, just like that. The moment you repent, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, your life is turned from darkness to light through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they sang Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. That's what God can do for you. Spiritually blind, but now I see. I see the way of salvation. I see who Jesus is. I see that God can save me if I only believe and put my faith in Him. Well, the last truth of this story is this. We should respond to answered prayer. What should you do when God answers your prayer? You ought to do what Bartimaeus did. We read in the last of verse 52 that he followed Jesus on the road. He followed Jesus, and Luke tells us that he followed Jesus on the road and was glorifying God for what God had done in his life. Praising and glorifying God. In gratitude, he began to follow Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to learn more from Jesus. I think he followed him all the way up to Jerusalem and stayed there in Jerusalem for the Passover. Went every day to the temple to hear Jesus teach. He became a follower of Jesus. And listen, if God has truly saved your soul, you will become a follower and disciple of Jesus. Have you followed him in baptism? Do you follow him in church attendance? Do you follow him in Christian service? Do you follow Jesus each and every day? That is how we should respond to answering prayer to save our soul, answering prayers in our lives. Haven't you had God answer prayer in your lives? You should thank Him by being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And so reflect with me on this scene. Here's a blind beggar along the road. And Jesus of Nazareth, in a large crowd that's passing by, he finds out it's Jesus. And he calls out to him, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stops and invites him to bring his request. And he presents his request in faith. And Jesus heals him of his blindness. And Jesus is passing before you from the pages of Scripture. And the question is this: as Jesus is passing by, will you arise and go to Jesus? Will you arise today and be saved? Will you arise today and come and seek others to pray about the problem that you're facing? Will you arise and be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? You don't know about tomorrow. You need to rise up today. As we sing this hymn of invitation, if you are ready to be saved, if you are in special need, if you're being called upon to become a member of this church, this time of invitation is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Jesus Christ, that He can heal the blind, that He can heal spiritual blindness, He can save souls, He can heal the sick. Lord, help us to look to You in prayer and in faith and in persistence. Lord, help us to take to heart and respond to the truths you have laid out before us from your word today, and help us to do what you would have us to do in this time of response. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.